And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week at the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Welcome back, ladies and gents. My name is Nick Ragner, hidden name AC Riley, hidden name Jesse Von Ruden, and hey guys, good to see you. I haven't done Gravel Talk for like, what, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks
now? Give or take a couple
weeks. I
think
3 weeks. Yeah, I think this is the first show of the year, because the last show we did was our end of the year awards. Technically, that was put in the first day of the year.
It was like we had like an off season.
Yeah.
Right?
So we had a holiday vacation.
Okay,
does that work?
Our holiday season off season was basically during the hottest stretch of time that anyone could have podcasts. I mean, you had Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Yep.
You had the UK tournament. We've had everything that's kind of like developing from that right now with like WWE snatching up indie feds, quote unquote, to probably put on the network. The stuff with Flow Slam, Kenny Omega, everything going into the Rumble. Guys, we picked the wrong time to stop podcasting.
Ah, whatever. There's so many other podcasts for people to listen to. I'm sure that nobody probably cared.
I mean, to be fair, 9 out of 10 times if there's like a big topic, like we, normally when we're like here discussing what we want to talk about, we're always kind of like, well, everybody's going to talk about that, so let's kind of mention it, but then kind of pass over it. So
then this, we end up talking about
so
it.
So anyway. In this case, we passed over it by just not.
Even though this entire episode is probably going to be about stuff that people have already talked about.
Right. But I mean, that's kind
of. Give or take.
There's every now and then, like, the topics that, like, kind of everybody has to touch because it's like, hey, like.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's literally part of.
I mean, if you really want to be, like, underground hipster, then you can just talk about, hey, we're going to talk about the Royal Battle.
The Royal Battle, like.
The Elegant Battle, excuse me.
It's
like that underground, like, ripoff of the Royal Rumble that somebody probably actually has a show called that. And it's.
I mean, how many Winter Rumbles do we have in Wisconsin? Like, eight
too
of them?
Too many.
There's at least one.
Everyone has one.
The other
week. Every
week.
Everybody has a Winter Rumble because, hey, the Royal Rumble, really, really cool thing that WWE's been doing a long time, and that's one reason why it's emulated so much here in the local scene. Before we get talking about some of the national topics, you guys. Pretty cool thing, Jesse. You were able to cover WPW last week.
Yeah.
I think you know you guys have covered a few WPW events, but I know this might be more of a continuance thing. How was your experience over out in Green Bay?
It was a good experience. You know, we had to hit the road super early, and it was one of those things where we're trying to coordinate with young AC Riley over here. So like
hey,
the night before, we're like, "Hey man, what time do you want to hit out?" He's like, "Oh man, any time between like 8:30 to 9 is perfect, you know." So I'm like, "All right, cool."
Good.
So I get up early. It's like 7. I get packed. I have coffee at breakfast, all that stuff, and I shoot Riley a text like, "Hey man, finishing packing up at the station." It's about like you know like close to 8:30 or something like that. And then like no response. Usually like if he sees it and opens it up, it shows a little red
tag. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Nothing. So like I pull up to your guys' house. Right, I'm in front. I'm like, "I'll just give him a call." No answer. I'm like, "Oh fuck."
Yep.
So I call up Nick, and Nick, you must have been awake for like 5 minutes.
Yep, you're right, because I was checking my phone a little bit, and all of a sudden I was like, "Ring." Oh, what the fuck is... I was like, "Oh, wait, I haven't Riley get up yet. I know why Justice called."
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's funny, because like whenever somebody calls you, regardless if you should be embarrassed about sleeping or not, you're still always like trying to act like you weren't just sleeping.
Yeah. Like, so you're like, "Yeah, no, man, I've been awake."
Just making
no
sense.
Man, I've been up since 3 a.m.
Just sounds like I'm freaking drunk or something.
And I'm like, "Nah, man, you just woke up."
I was like,
flat out woke up. I don't care if you just woke up. So anyhow, basically gave like Nick the ultimatum to tell you. It's like, "Hey, you got 15 minutes to get packed, ready, and all that stuff, or else I'm leaving your fucking ass."
Right.
And it was up to you to get wherever you were going to go. So we finally got on the road, got up to Point, and it was like, if anyone drove anywhere this past weekend in the Midwest, you know how bad
that
fog
horrible.
Was.
Like the mist.
Oh, man, it was terrible. So we drive all the way up there to Green Bay, you know, call times 1 o'clock. They tell us 1 o'clock. We're like 20 minutes late. We're like, "Oh, man, we might get chewed out." No, we're the third, fourth, and fifth person.
I knew that was going to – I told you that.
Yep.
It turns out there was an accident in Milwaukee that shut down some of the interstate system, so the rain was actually running a couple hours late. It's fine by me. But, we knocked out everything that we really wanted to knock out that day. It was interesting. Like, I've never seen anyone really kind of coach promos the way that Ben McCoy does.
Nice.
So if you're on a show with Ben McCoy, ask him about promos. He will actually talk your ear off about it. The show was really good, close to probably like 200, 250,
nice.
Somewhere in there.
Packed crowd, yeah.
Definitely a good energy. It was a good showing. You know, a lot of people want to talk about, you know, like sometimes you can tell there's like a change of culture in a place. It felt like there was a change of culture up there, and it can only go up and up from here. Congratulations, WPW, on that one. Driving back sucked.
Yeah, it did.
Like, you were asleep most of it.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't?
No, I was awake for the whole thing.
Ah, well, that's surprising you didn't talk. Anyhow, so.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, I would have chimed in, but it's, like, in the back seat, you can barely hear sometimes, especially when Ryan Brown's talking, because he always mumbles. And then at the same time, it's like, you know, you guys were talking, and you guys were talking about, you know, unrelated stuff, so I was just like, all right, I'm just going to sit here and make sure we don't die.
Okay, well, so. You did a very poor job about that, because we almost died.
Yeah.
So, literally.
But I was awake, though, for the record, because everybody thought I was going to sleep, and I didn't. Ha!
Nice.
Sorry.
Proving the doubters
continue.
Wrong.
So anyhow, we can see maybe 10 feet in front of us. Going down, like doing like 65.
Pitch black for the record.
Pitch black. Can't see a damn fucking thing. Got to the point where I'm like, hey, Brown, how close are we to point? Brown's like, oh, we're going to be like 10 miles away now. I'm like, all right, you better be right, because I'm going to look at this thing if we're going to stop in like 10 miles no matter what. So we finally get to Brown's place. We end up like just watching some random AWA show, and it blew my fucking mind just how random the show was. They had Misawa taking on like Rock and Roll Buck Zuma.
And then he yelled into a mic that was already overmodulated. So
so
you can't hear anything he says, but you can hear his boombox perfectly.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so you got that. There was a midget tag match that had
Little Tokyo.
Brooke, Little Tokyo taking on Little Cowboy and Little Mr. T. It was the most random midget match of it.
Great.
Yeah, we got to bed about like 2, woke up, got back into town.
Still whatever. Foggy, but I mean it was.
It was still foggy. It was still foggy all the way until like Monday morning, but it was a good road trip. Can't complain about it.
You know, it's funny because it was a good road trip, but you forgot to mention the best part of that show was the fact that when we got there, there were people LARPing in the area that we were. Yeah. So basically, we get to the venue, and you know, we didn't know where the ring was, so we were like making sure we were in the right spot and had the right location. So we see these, you know, a bunch of people just, you know, with the foam swords and shields and fighting
lightning
each other.
Lightning bolt.
Yeah, with no lightning bolts, but just
bolts.
Swords and shields. Oh. So we double check, and they're like, yeah, they're going to move once the ring gets here. They've been known to clear the area.
What is it, like a banquet hall?
Bar.
No, it's kind of like a
volleyball.
It's a sports complex, indoor sports complex.
I'm just
so
trying
to play like, you know, sand volleyball all year round, and there happens to be a tiny little lake where they're having like a fishing Olympics.
I think it was a poor plunge that they had.
All I can imagine is just like this giant banquet hall with like people with capes and shit on, just going at war, and
some
it just doesn't make sense.
Capes, some of them did.
Yeah, some of them did.
Did it look like a wooded area? Like, did it resemble a battlefield?
No,
or
it looked like a pole shed.
It looked like a pole shed with tarps over the sand.
This is really interesting.
Yeah, so basically.
This is the venue?
Yeah.
So silver lining of having to wait for the ring to show up was the fact that we just kind of got to people watch everybody do
it. Was it fun?
Yeah, it was
did
great.
Did you want to do it?
I didn't want to do
you
it.
You kind of did.
I kind of wanted to. Okay. But like at the same time, like we would tell people outside, it's like, hey, there's LARPers out there. It's like, shut the fuck up. It's like, they are not LARPing. It's like, they are. Holy shit, I need to go and check this out.
Which is kind of funny because there was 3 hours of LARPing later.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Nobody made fun of them, did they?
Not that I know of. To their face. Nope. I'm sure people were talking trash.
Shame on you.
I mean, they were actually really nice guys. They actually sit and talk to you.
Yeah. I didn't talk to them at all, but I mean.
Shame on you.
Yeah, they were
wearing
cool
underwear
guys.
And ripping other men, and you make fun of LARPers.
I think somebody was proposing the idea that would be the pre-show. Or just a bunch of LARPing for
Ryan
the pre-show.
Brown was trying to get that as a pre-show.
And then it would be a fight to the death, and then the winner would get a WPW contract.
Not that would be hot.
I mean,
that sounds more like a now thing. But
at the same time, like you or Brown or somebody in the group pointed out that basically LARPing and wrestling is almost the same thing. So it's like, you know.
It is. Except, you know, when you guys hit each other with your foam bats, you don't drop to a knee and still try to
fight. I'm missing my arm. Yeah. That's gone. Yeah. No, it's just like, oh, my arm.
But no, they were really cool. I guess they've been doing it for over a decade. They're part of a bigger alliance of other.
That's
LARPers.
How it is, man.
It's huge. LARPing is huge.
It was pretty huge here in lacrosse, but
let's just cancel this podcast. We'll
LARP
do
talk.
LARP talk.
Why
LARP,
not?
LARP
yeah,
talk.
Why not?
I'm serious. We get some LARPers on. See, I've talked to a couple of LARPers in town, dude. They're like the nicest freaking dudes that you could ever meet. You know.
I remember doing that for
no
a
egos.
Couple of months.
You were a LARPer?
I did it for a little bit. It was back in I want to say, like, I think either late middle school or early high school is that I had a couple friends that did that, did the amp card stuff. Was it
Matt?
Josh? Yep. So
I know names.
So basically, like, they were really into it, and then I was kind of, my interest peaked just by hanging out with them, and then I went to a couple of the events and everything, but I didn't have, like, I basically just borrowed stuff from them because I didn't have, like, the materials myself and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's interesting because it's not something that you normally do on a weekend. Like, everybody's willing to look down on people and be like, oh, fucking nerds. But it's just like, if you like it, why not do it? You know what
well,
I mean?
Pretty much everyone's a nerd now.
Yeah.
It's just to what degree what do you want to be a you? Nerd? You yeah. know, right. It's hey, listen, if you want to get back into LARPing, me and Nick.
You guys will.
Well, we'll let you get back in. All right,
we'll
basically.
Let you.
Yeah,
we'll
let you got your permission.
That's about it. Yeah.
You know. Well, on top of that, though, guys, is you know between the LARPing, between WPW, I mean, we had a lot of great shows that we didn't get to talk about these past couple weeks either because BCW had that Rise of Honor show, Jesse.
That they did. It was a fantastic show, jam packed as always for BCW's Rise mm-hmm. of Honor. We probably saw probably one of the better matches we're going to see in the area all year. And that was Dredd against Pentagon Jr. Actually, he's not even Pentagon Jr. anymore.
Right.
That whole fiasco.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about
but
that.
But at the same time, to be fair, he was Pentagon Jr. at the day of the show.
The artist formerly known as Pentagon
yeah,
nice. Jr.
The wrestler
those,
formerly.
Those guys, man. That match was
13
amazing.
Days into 2017, and that was easily one of the best matches of the Midwest.
Yeah.
If
that,
not
that
the
match
independent scene.
Was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. If you get a chance to find that match on DVD or...
Cheap plug.
Well, I'm not going to get paid for the DVDs, so it's not really a cheap plug.
You get paid by knowing people are going to be able to watch
it. It makes you happy, too, for like the booking that Frankie must have done. Yeah. Because, you know, when you think about a guy like Justin Dredd, I mean, in the Midwest, probably doesn't have as prominent of a name as he deserves. So then he gets to work a guy like Pentagon Jr., and as you guys mm-hmm. have been talking about, knocked it out of the ballpark, puts his name on the map a little bit, and, you know, kudos to him and kudos to BCW for booking that match.
Well, I talked to Dredd at WPW about just everything about that match, and you know, I was talking about the fact that, like, you know, he was doing like diving head scissors like from the apron to the floor, and never see him doing that stuff because he's always heel, and just like, well, you know, I was wrestling Pentagon, so I figured it was kind of like the opportunity to do it and everything like that. So like, he was just throwing out all the sobs, but like, he was even saying that like in the, you know, when he found out that he had the match, it was kind of a shock because like he wasn't like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get like a big name. They're just like, oh hey. You and Pentagon's like, what?
There's, like, typically when you think of a guy, somebody from the Midwest working a guy like Pentagon, there's maybe, like, three or four names that come to your mind. And, you know, sadly enough, Justin Dredd probably isn't one of them, but luckily mm-hmm. this time it was him, and, you know, definitely good.
It was definitely, he was definitely a dark horse candidate, but he definitely lived up to the hype.
Yeah, he deserved it, for sure.
Because once it was on paper, you're like, oh, that's going to be a good match. It's not going to be like, ah, why'd you give it to Dredd? And you're just like, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then it was really good.
Definitely. Big stuff happening over the past couple of weeks, but we're going to keep on moving forward because otherwise our podcast is going to be way too long for us to put up on our site because
we're going to have to wait until February
we'll
to post this
till,
one.
Yeah, we'll have to wait until February. Guys, we got the Royal Rumble coming up this weekend, but one huge storyline going into the Rumble, I think there was maybe five or six surprise entry spots left after all the entrants have been announced thus far, mm-hmm. and one name kept popping up and is – laughable as I thought it was, as you know, there's no way that this could ever happen. Kenny Omega's name still popped up as a possible candidate to be in the Royal Rumble, to be signed by WWE, because, I mean, his match at Wrestle Kingdom against Okada, we didn't really have a chance to talk about it, but, you know, one of the best matches we've seen in the past couple of years, and everybody wants to see him in WWE now. That's how it goes, you know? Yeah. You work at Wrestle Kingdom, and then you go to WWE.
In Wrestle Kingdom and have a great match, and then they want you to WWE.
But now we know that won't be the case. Correct, Jesse?
From what it sounds like, Omega's going to re-sign here. Just broke, not even like an hour before we started doing the podcast. He's probably going to end up re-signing with New Japan here in February. Kudos to him, you know, like he basically made it known that he was the hottest free agent in the planet, bar none, in this sport. And everyone wanted his services. Mm-hmm. And man, he's going to get a payday out of this.
Yeah.
He is going to get a payday. Now, the question is, he's going to sign like a one-year, multiple-year deal? You don't really know, but if New Japan really wants to sign him, they're going to sign him to a multi-year deal and lock this guy down because from what it sounds like, you know, we haven't really talked about it too much in the podcast, but New Japan does have plans to expand into America here in 2017 going into 2018. And that's the perfect guy you want, especially if you're going to do international push like they want to do.
Yeah, and I know they have a California tour booked later on this year.
Yeah, two dates, the first and second of July.
And the thing about Kenny Omega that's really cool for New Japan, and I know that he had some sort of name value before coming to New Japan, but, I mean, I think he's made his mark in Japan. You know, when you talk about guys like AJ Styles, some of the Bullet Club members, I mean, they had some sort of, maybe Carl, not as much for Carl Anderson since he was in Japan for like, what, 10 years?
Yeah, basically he made his name there.
Yeah, but the nice thing about Kenny Omega is that before he came to Japan, that was always his dream. You know, you listen to any other podcast that he's been on because we're probably not going to be able to talk to Kenny Omega, but he always wanted to be big in Japan. Like, that was his lifelong dream. He goes there, and now he's one of the top. He's like the top foreigner, the top Gaijin, as they call him there. And you know, it's he said on countless occasions he wants to win the heavyweight belt there. He doesn't care about any of the WWE titles. That's his goal. And I mean, how can you not like him to hold that title once they do come to the US of A to headline those two dates? I mean, I think that makes perfect sense, and it makes perfect sense for him to stay there because New Japan's growing right now internationally. I don't care what Dave Meltzer says, 80s and 90s, New Japan was better than it is now. Internationally, I can't agree with that because I think here in America, New Japan hasn't been bigger than it is now. And
right.
Kenny Omega's leading that charge.
Yeah, I think it'd be one thing if he was maybe unhappy with New Japan and maybe he was kind of on the fence or whatever, and maybe that's why he would sign a one-year contract. But honestly, if it broke that he signed multiple year, I wouldn't be surprised in the least because, you know, we talk about how many times that, you know, the dudes embrace the Japanese culture. You know, he's basically like one of the flagship guys of New Japan. So, like, if they do start to expand back into America in the West Coast, he's probably going to be one of the guys you want, you know, leading the charge, so to speak. So, especially too with him, you know, dissing WWE, and granted that could all be a work of him trash talking the belt, but in reality, he's like, hey, I'm going to really go back. But I mean, it's very unlikely. But I mean, kudos to him for still trolling everybody. You know, like I was telling you guys, like he signed autographs as like number 30, Kenny Omega, and it's just like, even though he knew he wasn't going to do it, just the idea of, hey, you know, keep an eye out. It's like, oh my God, he's going to do it. No, he's not.
So. And I think this kind of reminds me about, too, a little bit here, and this might sound kind of like a stupid analogy, but to me it kind of reminds me of, like, LeBron staying in Cleveland, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he has the chance to probably go make more money in WWE, you know, not necessarily work an easier schedule, but he's going to be around a bunch of guys that speak their main, you know, language is English. Like, you know, it might be easier for him in that sense. It might be easier for him to just live his life because he's, you know, I mean, he's Canadian, but, you know, I assume the sense of living from Canada to America is closer than from Canada to Japan.
Well, it depends who you ask.
It depends on who you ask. But, but for him, I think this is really cool because this is, like, basically him saying, no, I want to stay here. I want to help continue to grow this brand into an international powerhouse. And, you know, I'm not going anywhere until I know that my work is done. And I think that's you know, something to be kind of proud of.
Yeah, definitely. You don't really see that often.
No.
Where guys want to stick it out. Especially in this day and age, everyone wants to be a top guy. And basically, he basically has been on record saying he wants to be a top guy. He wants to be a focal point of a company. With New Japan, he's got that chance. He can be the focal guy. He could be a mover and a shaker. WWE, coming in, there's that hierarchy.
Yep.
And you got to really work your way up that ladder to get to that spot where you could be like a John Cena.
Yeah.
Or like an AJ Styles. AJ Styles had the biggest mountain to climb when he got there, and he did it. He did it. It's proven that you can do it. But for Omega, man, this guy, he's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to do it very well. So keep your eye on the story as the year progresses and see where New Japan actually goes. And if they actually start going the way everyone's thinking they're going to go, I think Kenny Omega made the right choice.
Right, definitely. Mm-hmm. I think that's a cool storyline to keep looking at. But since Kenny Omega isn't moving on and we're not going to see him on Sunday, guys, we still have quite a card for the Royal Rumble.
Absolutely.
Even though we're not going to see Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. We got the title matches. We have the huge Rumble match. Guys, what do you guys think about this upcoming pay-per-view? I know we're going to be watching it down at the People's Food Co-op. Shout out to them. We're going to be there with like 20 other people cheering
it's
on.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cheering on our favorites, you know, or whatever.
I think that sometimes one of the best things of watching pay-per-view is like watching it with a big group of people because, I mean, obviously, with the network being so accessible, anybody can just watch it by themselves. But I think that's like it's just like with a big game, you know, you want to watch that with friends instead of just watching by yourself. And then that way, not only can you get excited, but then everybody else can get excited as well.
Well, hopefully, not everyone's sitting there on their phones playing the Pokemon.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things, though, about the Rumble, what makes it fun, I think, in bigger groups is the simple gambling aspect of it.
Right.
Even if it's just a simple draw a number out of a hat,
yep.
you get yourself invested in that number because you want to win a lot of money.
And that's the thing, too, is that if you pick number four and it's just like this like Joe Schmo, you're just like, man, that guy needs to win because like, that's my guy. And it's just like, you know, in your head, you're like, there's no way that this guy's going to win the Rumble. It's like, no, fuck that. This guy needs to win because I picked that guy.
Well, people actually specifically bet money on superstars to win the Rumble. And Jesse, I think you did some research for us on some betting odds for this year's Royal Rumble. So what are some of the heavy favorites?
All right. So heavy favorites, according to Odds Shark, as of yesterday,
that's
right?
one of the more famous Perfect betting
one. So
sites.
Your top headers, you got Goldberg at +250. Which is like basically your odds-on favorite.
Really, Goldberg's the new favorite because that's been Goldberg, swapping quite a bit between Braun and Undertaker.
Exactly, Undertaker's actually dropped to 400.
Oh,
so he's actually dropped quite a bit because Orton has shot up to 350.
Really?
Yeah.
350.
Yeah, 350.
350.
350.
Yeah, exactly. Same with Strowman. Strowman's there as well. Now, here's the funny thing. After this, then you start looking at dark horses. Balor's at 550. Joe's at 550.
Oh, okay.
Then you go into, like, Jericho's at 900. Then it really kind of jumps up again because Lesnar's at 1,400, guys. Now, for a guy who should be an odds-on favorite, do you think that's a really terrible spot for Lesnar?
I don't necessarily know because when you look at Lesnar, I'm not sure if they want to go that route again with him being in that in the main event in that title picture. And I think that's more or less simply because when you look at the names that are ahead of him, I mean, when you look at a guy like Goldberg making his return, being a prominent figure in WWE right now, when you look at a guy like Undertaker, who everybody thinks is most likely going to be fighting for the world title at WrestleMania or the Universal Belt or whatever they're calling it nowadays.
Oh, there is a world title and a Universal title.
they're
separate,
ones.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I guess here's what I'm trying to get to as I mumble and stumble and rumble through this. Rumble.
Been there.
Did you get it? There's a lot of different options this year. This is what's beautiful about it. I think there's for the past couple of years, if you guys have noticed, we've went in and been like last year, it's like, yeah, Triple H is probably going to win this. Mm-hmm. Or the year before that or whatever, you know, it's been like, yeah, this guy's probably going to win this. Or, yeah, this guy, you know, Roman Reigns is for sure going to win this. And then, you know, that's the beauty of it this year is that, yeah, I think there are some favorites, but honestly, I have no idea. I have no clue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Finn Balor made his return and threw a guy out at number 30. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Samoa Joe won, and this being his first match on the main card. And that's what I think is really cool about it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if the Godfather came back, and instead of getting tossed out right away and walking out with his hose, he won. That would be actually kind of
surprising. They didn't even have the Godfather listed on the odds.
He
wasn't even listed.
Let me ask you this. Was R-Truth listed on there at all?
Or, you know, I think he was, but I kind of skipped because it got to the point where we hit like the 8,000 mark. Evan, I'm like, okay, let's take a look at guys who actually have a legit shot, but at the same time are kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it goes Apollo Crews at 10,000.
Wow.
Batista at 10,000. Steen at 10,000. He's got a bad neck, guys.
He's done.
The Rock at 10,000.
The Rock.
Well, Hulk Hogan at 20,000.
Dude, I think Hulk Hogan, you like got like Hulk Hogan better than someone like Sting, right?
Yeah. The Usos. No one's giving the Usos a goddamn
The Usos
shot.
Have a less chance than Hulk Hogan and Sting.
Yes. The Usos still have a 20,000 shot as well, both guys.
Both. So, then, like, you combine that, is it like...
Sin Cara is at 20,000.
Wow.
And same with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Which he also has a bad neck.
Yeah, well, Austin's probably not going to be matched. Now, here's some of the funny lines that are actually kind of decent, and you're like, man, that could actually work. So, Rusev... Is at 8,000.
Okay.
That should be a little bit higher, really, for Rusev.
Sure.
All right. Austin Aries, who's on the shelf, is at the same spot, 8,000. Go figure.
Interesting, yeah.
Big Show, 6,600.
Wow.
Weird. He's the same as Shawn Michaels, Ziggler, Big Cass. That's a weird combination.
And most of the time, these lines are based on people's betting trends.
Yep.
So that says a lot, I guess. Yeah. People are placing bets on Austin Aries as much as they're placing bets on Rusev.
Which makes no sense, because, like, he's on the shelf, guys.
Right.
And he's technically
not even in the...
He's got a
broken fucking face.
He's not even in the main event, you know,
He's not even on the main roster.
The main roster, yeah. That's pretty surprising.
If he was going to wrestle this weekend, it would have been at NXT.
If you wanted to make some smart money, who would you bet on there? If you were like, I got to win some big money here, would you play it safe and give it to Undertaker or Goldberg? Or do you think one of those smaller bet guys would be worth putting the money on?
man, if you're looking at maybe making some decent money, you got to look at that like 2,000 to 3,000 range. So that's Miz, Corbin, Cena, Zayn. Rollins jumps up to 2,500. Wyatt's at 2,500. Ambrose is at 33. Styles is at 33. Reigns is at 33. Which is kind of funny because depending on how the title matches line up, you're not going to see a Styles or a Reigns in there. You're not going to see a Cena or Owens in there. You're not going to – just the way it kind of works out there. But Nakamura's at 4,000. I mean, that's an interesting one there. They got Angle at 4,000 as well. Triple H at 4,000. They had Omega at 5,000.
Well, so sorry for you motherfuckers that bet money on that.
So for a guy who wasn't even on the active roster – or has anything to do with the active roster, or even have a chance to be on the active roster as of this match, he had better odds than Cesaro, Kofi Kingston, Sin Cara, who's been on the active roster forever.
Yep.
You know, so it's going to be interesting. If you want to throw down money and actually win some money, like I said, at 2,000 range is pretty good. Be tempted on the top-heavy part. Remember, though, like the way you bet, you got to be smart with it. To win a buck back, basically, you have to throw down $250 on Goldberg. Yep. And we get a phone call here. You know, this is actually a bookie calling, isn't it?
This is a bookie calling, yeah.
Yeah. So just be smart, guys. Be smart with your betting when it comes to the Rumble. I don't know. AC, who you got? Who's your favorite to win the Rumble?
That's a tough one. Honestly, you know, like you kind of look into like WrestleMania, and you kind of think of like who's going to be doing what, you know, looking ahead. And I don't know, like depending on how Balor's doing as far as on the shelf, if he's able to come back. I mean, I could see him, you know, going and you know being able to win it all, and something like that, maybe get back in the title picture because like he was first Universal Champion, and then all of a sudden it was just, you know, he was put on the shelf because he was injured, but like. You know, you want to say that like Goldberg's going to win, but odds are he's going to do something either with Strowman or Lesnar, just because you know, they're probably going to do everything in threes. Strowman and Undertaker is also a possibility, so they might try to keep the title picture open for that. So I don't know, like Orton. I don't know. I would just keep saying, I'm just going to say Balor and just leave it at that. So.
Like a lot of these interesting, and that was actually the fiance had a question about cooking garlic.
The fiance
for lasagna.
Okay,
yeah, she had a question about cooking garlic and lasagna.
Yeah.
Wanted to know after cutting up the garlic and you cook it in there if you should still see chunks. And I'm like, yes, honey, garlic doesn't disintegrate. So, anyways, when you're
and
talking
she's
about
like, yes, I do.
yeah, she's a vampire.
Yeah.
But when you look at these odds, I think a little bit here, it's with the Rumble, you always look ahead not to necessarily who's deserving it, but you're looking towards a WrestleMania storyline. So what makes the most sense for WrestleMania booking? And I think we're still in, we have no idea what's, like, is Goldberg and Lesnar happening again at WrestleMania? Because it has to be a payoff match, but we know that Goldberg's being advertised for Fastlane. So what's happening at Fastlane?
Yeah.
We don't know. And the same thing can be said for Undertaker. Is he wrestling in a match where the title is necessary? Is he wrestling a guy like, is Cena going to win the belt at the Rumble? And then is he going to wrestle Cena at WrestleMania for the world title?
Yeah, and you also got to remember, too, you know? SmackDown does have a pay-per-view coming up, which will be the Elimination Chamber. So, like, you could actually go with someone on Raw winning, declaring, and then you can still figure out who your SmackDown champion or the challenger is going to be based on the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, but I think it's like I said, I think the best part about this Rumble is that personally I can't see Goldberg winning it, and when the odds on favorite I can't see winning, that's great, because that means that I think the pool's wide open and there's a ton of different options that can happen. If you guys want to run through some predictions really quick, we can go down the list of matches, and I just want to hear what you guys think is going to happen.
Yeah, sure.
We don't have to have any extended discussion
debate
about each match.
No.
But
before we get there, who you got for the Rumble then?
We gotta do that last. That's the main event.
Oh,
we're starting from the bottom.
Alex has already picked his bet.
We had to kill time because you just walked out, got up, and left.
You know what, man? If you put too much garlic in lasagna, it ruins it. You put too little garlic in lasagna, it also ruins it. So it was an important phone call. I mean,
you guys
put in
the cottage cheese in?
No, we use ricotta cheese.
Oh, wow, that's even
not
better.
Cottage cheese?
Yeah.
Curdled cheese?
Yeah.
Jesse, come on. I thought you were Italian or something.
No.
Now that you say it, I'm actually kind of interested in how that would taste.
Alrighty, so we're going to kick things off. Screw the pre-show matches, because who cares?
Yep.
Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, and Natalya are taking on Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, and Naomi in a women's six-man tag to kick things off. Do you guys have any interest in this match? And if you do, who's winning it?
I got interest in the match. It's a SmackDown Women's Showcase, basically, here.
Yes.
we got Mickie James, who finally made it back up to the main roster. That was a great story there. Natalya has been on fire ever since turning heel. You know, Bliss has been blissful in that role.
I get it.
Yeah, because I had to lay it on so thick. You know, if I had to go anywhere, I would probably just go straight up. You know, 9 times out of 10, to set up a program, they're going to have a face go over a heel champ.
Yep.
Someone, I'm picking Lynch, Bella, Naomi. I wouldn't be surprised if Naomi gets a pinfall victory.
Yeah, set up something new. Yeah. Maybe as going into Fastlane, you kind of have that fun little storyline. I will say...
It'd be Elimination Chamber, actually.
Whatever. Yeah. I will say that I kind of like what your thought process says, but I can see Nikki Bella going over here. Mm-hmm. I do think that going into Mania, Nikki Bella might be having this. I'm not sure how much longer Nikki Bella is going to be staying around, mm-hmm. but I think that she's going to get her she'll have a SmackDown title match at
WrestleMania. So you're saying when it comes to time, she can look, but she can't touch.
I cannot wait for her to retire because I'm so sick of that joke because you make it every time we talk about Nikki Bella.
Yeah, because it's a perfect joke.
Every time.
It's a perfect joke. What about you, Alex? What you got?
I don't know. Mickey James.
Do it.
All right.
Just
wow.
Just be that guy.
Up next, Rich Swann defending the WWE Cruiserweight Championship against Neville. I'll start. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to say Neville in this one. Definitely deserves it. By far, in my opinion, the best Cruiserweight on the roster, if not on the planet today. And, man, he's been great in his heel role. So I think Neville will take this right.
This has probably been the best thing Neville's done since joining the main roster just because, like, you know, he came from NXT and he was just a star, and then all of a sudden he was on the main roster, and just like with a lot of guys that get called up, she's like, you're here now. And obviously WWE forgot his first name and everything, of course. but at the same time, like, you know, he turned heel and he's part of the Cruiserweight division now, and it's great because, you know, then he's thriving in it. So, and plus two, like, I don't see Swann holding it against Neville and just being realistic. So I think Neville gets a win.
That's the longest about way to get to that answer. It might be a clean sweep for Neville here. He's been the hottest part about that Cruiserweight division, and they really needed that because it was kind of floundering both on Raw and 205 Live, which really kind of sucks because it was the hottest thing going on this summer.
Yeah, it's just, you know, sometimes the booking isn't right. Up next, we got the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Charlotte Flair, who a lot of people are saying is not only the best women's wrestler right now, but could be one of the best wrestlers in the company, taking on Bayley for
best
that championship,
world.
Best in the world. Riley, who you got? Charlotte Flair against Bayley for the title.
I'm going to say Charlotte, just because I feel like Charlotte and Sasha aren't done with their stuff yet, just being realistic. I know Sasha's on the mend right now, but then again, when isn't she, just when it comes to those two? So I say Charlotte retains, and that way people maybe don't remember that the belt's been passed around every now and then like a hot potato, so... A little bit of a breather, and then they go back into it.
Jesse?
You know, as nice as it would be to Bayley to win this one, I don't think it's the right time. We're going to give the nod to Charlotte.
You know, I think this is kind of weird how often this is happening, but I also agree with Charlotte there. I think that she at least holds on to the belt until Mania, where it might switch hands again to... You know,
yeah,
Bayley or Sasha.
Realistically, there's no way that she walks out of WrestleMania 2 years in a row back to back with the title.
I mean, yeah, you never know, but I see her holding on to it for at least a couple more months here, and if it's going to change hands, it's going to be at Mania. Otherwise, I think we're in for the Charlotte era for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. Next matchup, Kevin Owens defending his WWE Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. Chris Jericho, guys, is going to be suspended above the ring in a shark cage.
Yeah, basically we saw
that was the greatest thing on Monday Night Raw.
It almost sounds fake when I say it, but it's not.
Yeah, it was the best thing we probably saw on Raw last week. It was Owens up in the shark cage instead of
"Get me out of here,
Jericho.
Stupid idiot!"
But now it's going to be Jericho up there as well. Hopefully they actually attach him to the commentary too, because that'd be perfect.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
I think a shout out to WWE for the proper use of Twitter, because like on the feed they posted a photo of Roman Reigns looking up from Monday Night Raw, and then the post right above it was Kevin Owens looking down.
Nice.
So it looked almost like it was like a giant photo.
Yeah. What do you think, Jesse? Who you got in this match?
Man,
it's tough for you. Eh?
I'm just gonna go Owens. I don't. They need to get him a pretty good signature win against a big guy here, and to do it on his own without Jericho, I think that'd be big for him. Otherwise, man, because I just can't pick Reigns in this situation because, like, man, he's just about as – he's like a dry turd right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's a fucking dry turd. And I think a lot of people are just kind of sick and tired of seeing Reigns either in the title picture. Plus, if you're going to do a special attraction match with, like, him and Taker or something like that, you don't need the belt.
Yeah.
So let's keep the belt on Owens and see where it can go from there.
I think that's what you'd hope, but I'm going to go Reigns in this one. You know, I know that the popular opinion has been that Raw has been struggling as of late. Owens has been their top guy. I think, you know, another big thing is that Owens and Jericho might go into a program here eventually. It might lead to a Mania match. I don't think the title will be on the line there. And I think Roman Reigns is going to end up representing Raw in the main event of WrestleMania because that's just how it's been and that's how it's going to be. So I pick Reigns in this one, especially with Jericho above the cage. It's the perfect thing, right? This dude keeps interfering in all the matches. Well, we'll make sure he can't and put him in a shark cage so he looks like an idiot so that when Roman Reigns wins, confetti falls down on him. And he's like, ah, no, he's a stupid idiot, no! No, damn it. No.
Give me
down. So, yeah, I'm picking Reigns.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Owens by way of shark cage coming loose and then crush Reigns.
Wow. Just like, just
that would kill him. He would be dead.
Hey.
All right. I like it. Roman Reigns dies.
He's
that's
wearing
your pick.
A vest to be all right.
And then the main event of the evening, aside from the Royal Rumble, AJ Styles, John Cena, and what could be yet another classic between these two guys for the WWE Championship. AC Riley, who you got?
That's tough because these guys have
it is
great,
tough.
They have great matches. AJ's had the belt for a while now. You can kind of see that maybe they would give it back to Cena, but you know what? Just to be that guy, I'm gonna go with Styles.
You guys got to also remember Cena's looking for number 16 here, which would tie him with the Nature Boy Ric Flair. I don't know. I think another big win against John Cena really cements AJ Styles here. So we're going to go with AJ Styles.
I keep reading the reports, and it sounds like Undertaker is going for the Raw belt. Raw needs some help. They're falling in the ratings. We know that that's WWE's flagship. They don't want that to happen, even though they shouldn't care because, hey, it's both shows.
Yeah.
And possibly that ratings drop could be from Monday Night Football. So now that Monday Night Football is not around anymore, we could see those ratings shift back. But who knows? But I'm still holding out hope for a Cena-Undertaker match. So I'm going to say Cena wins the belt here. Undertaker wins the Rumble. Whoops. We got ahead of ourselves.
We'll put Nick down for the Undertaker.
Because here's the thing. You're trying to sell out, you know, this WrestleMania. You got, if you do Lesnar, Goldberg, you have a couple other big matches. You know, to me, man, Cena Undertaker on top of the poster, I mean, I don't think it can, I honestly don't think it can get bigger than that.
No.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, plus, and, too, how long you've been talking about that match for, you know, for a couple of years now.
Forever.
And I know that it seems like, you know, Cena could be, but like, let's be honest with you guys, look at these past couple of years, like, how much longer does Cena have left, you know? And
he's pushing 40,
he's
which
pushing
is
40.
Old.
And, how much longer does Taker have left? I mean, this guy wrestles once a year, and... In those matches, he, like, dies.
Yeah.
He literally becomes the dead man. He's dead.
He comes out, and then all of a sudden he gets cocked in the face, and he just...
Yeah.
Just ragdoll Undertaker.
I'm sorry, but he already lost. They've missed the mystique, I think, of being able to use Taker to push a younger guy. So fuck it. Just go all out, Cena and Taker. Just do it. Finally do it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I picked Cena there, and I guess that rolls into our next Royal Rumble pick. I'm going to pick Taker, but I'm going to say I think it'd be great if Sami Zayn won. I think that's my dark horse pick for the Rumble is a Sami Zayn victory. If I was going to try to bet some money and make some money, I would put money on Sami Zayn. I think he has a really good story. And I think if Kevin Owens somehow kept the belt and we had a Sami Zayn versus Owens at Mania, you know, you could push Cena and Taker as the main events and Sami Zayn and Owens could be a little bit earlier in the card.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the story for that fucking match? Like they could bring all that NXT shit back. They did it last summer.
Yeah.
But now it's for the big belt, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sami Zayn can get his comeuppance against Kevin Owens. I think it'd be a fucking awesome story for Mania.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's gonna happen, but that's my dark horse pick.
Well, I said Balor, but one thing I want to point out too is that somebody made a post about how Styles is from Atlanta and Cena's from New England, so it'll be a preview for the Super Bowl.
Nice.
You know, this Sunday.
Nice.
So, Jesse, who do you got?
Man, my pick was going to be Zayn.
Oh, sorry,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, so I'm just going to put down Zayn. Yeah, basically everything you said makes sense. it's a good story. Because, like, you still have the Elimination Chamber really to set up the main event for SmackDown going into WrestleMania. So why not knock the Raw one out right away? Gosh. Makes the most sense.
Could you just imagine these, like, emotional promos between these two guys? These two best of friends traveled the world together.
Yep.
They're on the biggest stage of them all. It's like Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero. We never saw that. Main event of WrestleMania. I mean, it'd be breathtaking. These two guys, we know that they can put on five-star matches. They did it last summer. I mean, we know that they can kill it.
Yep.
So we know that they can live up to the hype. Vince McMahon came out after Wrestle Kingdom and was like, ah, I want to see more shit like that on WrestleMania. Well, book Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn, and you'd have that. So there you go.
Only one caveat. I want them to use Creed's My Sacrifice for the video pack.
Why?
Come on, it's perfect for the two of them.
Is it?
Yeah.
My Sacrifice.
Yeah. I mean, just Kevin Owens be like, I never liked you. Zayn's like, I hate you.
I hate you, too. And then it shows him, like, hugging at one point.
Going on vacations, stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
I mean, that could set up WrestleMania, though. Zayn and Owens and then Undertaker and Cena, if that's, you know, what it looks like.
I just think, you know, you can have the big money match in Cena and Undertaker, and then you can have the amazing story match coming with Zayn and Owens.
So you don't want to see Styles and Undertaker?
Nah.
Oh.
Styles has that. I don't know how. We like to see Styles do all that flippy shit and pick dudes up and spin them around and fucking. Yeah. I don't know if he could work well with Taker on doing that.
True.
He'd probably break Taker's neck doing that. Whoops, sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah, the Styles Clash would be...
kill him.
It'd probably kill him. All right, cool. The other thing that we got going on this weekend as well is NXT San Antonio, guys.
Yeah, right.
Big-time NXT card coming up. Right away, we're going to start things with Roderick Strong versus Cien Almas. Now, this has actually been a pretty interesting matchup. It looked like Roderick was going to team up there with Aries, but, of course, everything happened with Aries.
His face got broken.
Yeah, basically. So Strong now is actually getting the white meat babyface push down there in NXT. And, guys, where do you see this match going?
I think this match potentially will steal. I think this match will steal the show. I think it'll be the best match on the card. And, you know, I think I mentioned this to you guys earlier, but Cien has been coming up in rumors as a possible call-up here pretty soon, whether it's after the Rumble or after WrestleMania. But, you know, I think this would be a great way to propel Roderick Strong as that white, hot baby face, and I think he could be propelled into the title picture here with a win over Cien. So if we're talking predictions, I like Strong in this match, but I like this match in general just to be one that maybe you know, it might be the opening contest, but I really think – you know, at least as far as I like wrestling, this will be the best match on the card.
I would say Almas, because I feel like they're really pushing him at with the heel turn, everything like that, which has been really good for him so far. Roderick Strong will still get the rub no matter what as the white hot baby face, and it would just be that Almas is the one that gets the win overall. So I could see Almas getting the win here.
Yeah, Almas turning, getting that true heel persona, it's actually been a blessing for him because he was dead in the water.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was
absolutely dead in the water. He's definitely a good pick. He's going to be my pick on that one, but I would not be surprised. It's a toss-up match. That's just how evenly drawn out both these guys are. Going right into that one, it's actually an interesting story match between Eric Young and Ty Dillinger here, guys. Basically, Ty Dillinger was on the cusp of leaving NXT, and Eric Young offered him a spot with Sanity. You guys thought I forgot their name for a second there. Yeah, I probably did. So anyhow, he offered him a spot in Sanity, and Dillinger turned him down.
Yeah.
Which do not do to Eric Young. So now we got a matchup between these two.
Yeah. That'll be a good contest, I think. I think Dillinger needs to get a win out of the takeover, so he's going to beat Eric Young. I really hope so. I don't know what Eric Young has to win in this matchup, so what goes for him. So
as much as Ty Dillinger needs a win, I don't see it happening, and I think Eric Young gets a win. Just if anything, it's because of Sandy's involvement. Because as far as I know, they're allowed ringside. So
that makes no sense.
Yeah.
You know, your whole group's allowed ringside. Go figure.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if this is really the beginning of that push to get Dillinger ready for NXT WrestleMania. Like that's a big thing. Even though like the big rumor is him at 10 at the Rumble.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
I think a big win against Eric Young here does a lot for him, but at the same time I know where Alex is coming from. That's the great thing about NXT. Sometimes we just don't know where they're going to go with these storylines, even though once we do get the spoilers, we know where they're going to go. All right, Fatal 4-Way action for the NXT Women's Championship as Asuka will be defending against Peyton Royce. Nikki Cross and Billie Kay here, guys. Remember, the champion does not need to be pinned to lose her title.
That's what's tough about this match. I mean, you got four competitors. I mean, all the girls are doing great down in NXT. You were kind of worried a little bit there after Bayley left, but I mean, there's something special happening with Nikki Cross. I think we can all admit that. And how can you stop an unstoppable force that has been Asuka in NXT since she debuted by putting her in a Fatal 4-Way match where she doesn't have to be pinned to lose the belt? So, I mean, this is tough, man. This is actually really tough for me. I honestly want to say I'm not going to make a pick. I'm just going to say the field. I'm going to pick the field. So I'm saying that.
So someone besides
someone
Asuka.
Besides Asuka, I think, is going to win this match. Right. I really do. I don't know who to pick of those three girls because I think it could go either way. Because I mean, if Peyton Royce or Billie Kay take it, I think it's a nice fresh face for the women's division. It kind of brings something new to the table. If Nikki Cross wins, I mean, she has that belt, brings it into Sanity, and then you can run with that for months.
Yep.
So I think you can't go wrong, and this would finally at least, you know, let Asuka start chasing again, because you know, you can only be the champ for so long before it gets stale. So I think with Asuka, you need to put her back in that chase mode, yet she doesn't look weak because she doesn't take the pin.
I say Asuka just because it just seems like they're going to keep this undefeated streak thing going for a while, despite the fact that, like you said, it's going to get stale and everything. And I don't know. It's just you don't really know who's going to be the person to put her away. So
yeah, I mean, those are both very valid points. If I had to pick anyone out of the field, there's a part of me that really kind of wants to see Peyton Royce and like Billie Kay just like try to steal pinfalls, because like they're both going to probably share the belt.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be smart to try to pin each other?
Yeah.
You know, and be like, we're the women's champion. They can do that. So either Peyton Royce or Billie Kay, that's kind of where I'm going to go on that one. So
I think the money match, I think what they might build up for the WrestleMania NXT is Ember Moon and Asuka.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And I wouldn't honestly be surprised if we see Asuka lose a belt here, and then in NXT, like in a week or two, she wins back. I mean, I don't know what the results have been from the. Oh, they film them on Saturday, don't they? Don't they usually shoot the next
tape
NXT? I think
they did some of the spoilers already, because like they did the taping set. What, it's like 3 weeks ago, something like that.
Oh yeah.
So we'll find.
Who knows?
Out. Yep. All right, cool. Moving on to the tag title match as DIY defends against the Authors of Pain here, guys.
This is tough for me, man. I'm not super entertained by the Authors of Pain, but I could see them winning the belts just because, you know,
they're the big guys.
They're the big guys, and then I mean, it kind of opens up the tag division a little bit. And then I mean, you can play with these two teams for a couple of months. If they lose the belts, and they can have a rematch at the next show or whatever. I'll go Authors of Pain. I'll say Authors of Pain win the belts here.
I'm gonna say Authors of Pain as well.
Okay. Just be different. I'm going to go DIY, even though I think I probably talked everyone into why they were going to lose like last weekend. But, if I had to talk myself into DIY winning, it's just because they did something smart. And more than likely, the Revival is going to get into this at some point.
Yep.
Watch out for that triple threat match WrestleMania weekend. Okay, and cool. The main event, Battle of the Entrances. Robert Roode will be taking on Nakamura.
That's literally what this. I heard it on the Voices of Wrestling. I told you guys this before, and I think it was a perfect explanation for what this match might be. I hate to say it. I mean, for Bobby Roode, I told you guys this before we start taping. Great TV persona, awesome charisma. Entrance is flawless. Great presentation. But for some reason, I've just never loved this dude in the ring. Like, I've never found his matches in TNA just super enjoyable. I really like Triple H, but to me, Bobby Roode is like Triple H light, I guess, more or less. So he's a little bit, he's just kind of boring in the ring to me. And then when you look at a guy like Shinsuke Nakamura, great matches time and time again. But we've seen it a few other times where if his opponent isn't kicked into that extra gear, then you know it might not bring out necessarily the best of Nakamura. So I think this match does have the potential to be a letdown. Now that being said, I could be totally wrong, and this match could totally kick ass. I just have a feeling that there's a good chance that the entrances are going to outweigh the actual matchup. But you know that's just me shitting on it because most likely it's going to be a 6-star match. I'm going to look like a fucking idiot. As far as a prediction, that's kind of tough. I think when you look at this, I mean, I think these guys are gonna end up working again. I wouldn't be surprised if they work the WrestleMania show and then the loser of that ends up going to WWE in the main roster. Well,
sounds like a really weird stipulation. Loser goes to WWE.
Yeah, it's just how it's been going, though.
I'm gonna say Bobby Roode takes the belt here, and they'll have another program working into WrestleMania weekend. I think my predictions were that every belt was gonna change hands at this show, so this will be one of the show.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't do my homework. I'm just kind of winging it.
Yeah, that's okay.
You just like dartboard.
It's like who's gonna. There we go.
Oh shit! The dart fell off the wall.
Dart fell off.
I'd probably say, I want to say Bobby Roode only because I really want to see what Bobby Roode as a champion is like at NXT. Just because, like, imagine what he's doing now. It's just with the belt and everything he can do with that. I think that'd be fantastic. Plus, too, like we've seen with Nakamura that like he can essentially lose the belt but then still be in the picture and then get it back. So like it stays fresh opposed to well he's had the belt for a while so. He needs to drop it, whereas, like, oh, he can lose it and just be like, here, you're borrowing this for a little bit. So I want to say Roode just for the pure curiosity of what it's like with his promos, because I think it'll be glorious.
I'm just going to go the opposite of you guys. I'm just going to go Nakamura. The reasoning? It's like, Roode's good without the belt. Nakamura, he's positioned in that main event spot. And I think whoever really is going to take that belt off him next is going to get the rub, the main rub there. Because Nakamura, man, I would be not surprised if he's not on the main roster by summer. Because you need a guy like him on Raw.
Yep.
Even he doesn't have to be there every week. He'd be there every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. But you need a guy like him on Raw.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm just going to go Nakamura there. So it's a huge weekend of wrestling, guys. So, yeah. Saturday night, NXT. Sunday night, Royal Rumble.
Yep, it's going to be a whole lot of fun, and I'm excited. I mean, we're going to be at a few people's food co-op. We're going to be eating vegetables and other greens, because that's what they sell there.
Yep.
Hipster food.
You know they also, they sell chocolate?
I'm joking.
Pre-trade chocolate.
You know they have good cheesecake there.
You know what they also sell?
Yeah, what's
Tab.
That?
Tab.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the only soda they sell. They don't carry main soda products like Coke and Pepsi.
RC Cola?
They carry some cola products. There's a Sprite.
Dr. Pepper, maybe. The hipster of all soda pops.
Like what was it? It's Cold Spring Soda.
I thought Tab was the hipster of all soda pops.
Tab is.
Tab's not the hipster of all sodas.
You can't have two hipster of all.
What is the hipster of sodas? Like, what's that one? Like
Sprecher. Sprecher's pretty hipster.
That's pretty hipster.
Yeah.
That's like
Cola is like the white trash of soda.
I don't know.
Yeah, it is. You're not wrong.
How is RC Cola the white trash of soda when you have Faygo? So, AC Riley, closing comments since we got to wrap this guy up.
Closing comments?
Yeah, closing.
Just got another double shot coming up this weekend, so it'll be exciting to do that and get on the road again. And hopefully the roads aren't terrible.
Yeah, so where are you going to be this weekend? You can't just say double shot. That might just mean like you're taking shits in two different places.
I've never used that term for that, and I'd never done that either. So,
you don't need poop at your house?
I poop other places, but I never say, like, oh, I got a double shot. I'm going to go poop at Quick Trip, and then I'm going to poop at the restaurant. And it's like, no, I don't do that. You got to poop once.
Yeah, so where are you going?
Anyways, WPW, Fond du Lac, doing that on Friday. And then Saturday, I believe I'm going to MIAW. But also Pro Wrestling Battleground has their 10th year anniversary, and it's kind of funny to kind of look back on that because, like, I was there for the first anniversary 9 years ago. So
fun.
It's kind of cool to kind of think back about that. I don't know if I still have the DVD, but I think
you got that Garth Brooks song stuck in your head?
I do not.
Back.
I don't have
the memories.
I do not have the Garth
Brooks
song.
You don't remember
song
that song? It's a classic. Yeah.
I don't listen to country, man. Like,
you're missing out.
Am I?
I'm having your life ruined by it.
Okay, so like, then I'm not missing.
Bad.
Like I'm not missing out.
Yeah,
so
yeah
I'm,
you
I'm,
totally
I'm,
are.
I'm gonna
you
continue
need your life
to,
ruined by something.
I'm gonna continue to not listen to Garth Brooks just because that sounds like a good choice. Although I will say this much: driving down 21, it seems like the only thing that ever comes in radio is country music.
Hey, live in rural Wisconsin. That's all you. That's all you get.
You're not hot top 40 hip hop or anything.
Like, I'm not arguing the logic, but I'm just saying that like if it's like my CD player doesn't work, it's like, oh hey, I gotta listen to country music.
It's weird when you get to like a big city and like they have like two or three stations devoted to just hip hop or R&B. I'm like, wow, that's weird.
Yeah,
I feel weird.
You
about
know,
this.
What I love about big cities is always one Latin music station that plays nothing but traditional mariachi.
Is that Mary? What is that? Is that?
I think
is
you
that Spanish opera. Or
I think you did Spanish opera.
Yeah.
What's mariachi? Give me something.
That's kind of like
I think he's just singing.
Happy birthday to you.
You know, it's sure. It's like a polka. It's like a polka. That's
polka,
a mariachi.
Polka, hippie dee dee.
I think that's
just the I'm pretty sure that's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, guys.
Yep. That's his own genre.
That's that's something else. That's not it. Cool. Yep. Sweet, guys. Well, it's a lot of fun talking wrestling. AC Riley, you can play the sponsors after the show because we didn't take a break today.
We didn't.
We straight talk.
That's okay.
Straight talk.
Straight talk.
Straight talk.
Wireless.
Yeah. Straight talk wireless. Grapple talk.
Yeah, we need sponsors.
We do, yeah, we do.
Sponsored by Verizon.
Speaking of sponsors, if you want to sponsor the show or if you just want to know about the upcoming shows, know a little bit about what we're about, you can hit up our social media sites, facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. Otherwise, follow us on Twitter @TheGrappleTalk. Place to go, again, for all that info that you so want and love and kind of just want to cuddle up with on a couch. And, you know what I mean, Jesse?
Hardly.
The show gets really weird by the end of our podcast because I think I'm excited to go home and eat.
Basically, I think you are. But, Nick, no, we did tease. We need some dating advice.
Oh, gosh, you really put that on
there? We need the dating advice, all right? Oh, yeah,
I thought that was a joke.
All right, it's not a joke. All right, cool. So this past weekend, right, I ended up going on a sushi date on Sunday, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, super cool gal, right? Had a good time, basically closed the place down, right? We left. I asked her on a second date. She said yes. So I asked her on a second date. Haven't heard anything back since.
Oh, no.
So am I getting ghosted, breadcrumbed, or what's the other word that's very trendy for not talking to someone you went on a date with?
Potato boy?
What? Is that a phrase? Potato boy?
That has nothing to do with dating.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard from her?
Sunday. Sunday,
really?
Yeah.
How would that go? Did you just like shoot her a text and you're like, hey, what's
up? No, it was like when we said goodbye.
Oh.
And then, yeah.
And you were just like, hey, so you want to do this again? And she was like, yeah.
Yeah, she said, yeah. And then I pitched a date idea. Like, she had mentioned that, hey, you know, I really kind of want to go to this, you know, art exhibit, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I actually looked into it, and they had, like, an opening ceremony. It's like $20. You get food and drinks, and you get to see two bands and all that shit. I'm like, you want to do it? Nothing since then.
Through text?
Through the Tinders.
Ooh, the Tinders.
Yeah. So
now that's a different ball game because I have never been involved in the Tinder game. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
You're getting ghosted, probably.
I'm getting ghosted.
You might be.
Jesus Christ.
How many messages have you sent? Were you that? Did you send like so many that her last message can't be seen on your screen?
Sent two. I sent her one Monday morning, say it was very nice meeting you. Hopefully,
she didn't say anything to that?
Nothing. And then it was like, Tuesday afternoon. I'm like, hey, you want to do this? Nothing.
Or maybe she was so into you, dude, that she deleted her Tinder because she was like, I don't need these other guys. I got my one true love.
Which makes no sense because we didn't switch, like, we didn't swap numbers.
Why?
I don't know because we didn't swap spit.
So? You can still swap numbers?
Oh, come on. No, you can't.
Buddy, friends have numbers and they don't kiss.
That's true.
I've kissed AC Riley a few times.
That's true.
Wait, what happened?
But no, we never switched numbers because I think that was going to be like the second date. Go on a second date, see how the second date goes in a different setting as well. And then you probably switch, you know, swap numbers.
I mean, does it hurt to just berate her with more messages?
I don't know.
If it was that good, like if you think there was a connection, if you felt like maybe she wasn't, you know.
She said yes right away when I asked the question.
As an idea, if you have another idea for a date, just follow up with a message like, hey, there's this going on. Would you like to, you know, like almost set up another date instead of just be like, hey, what's up or whatever? Because then it's just like,
what was the last thing you said?
Look at this clown.
I'll just like totally, all right, here it is. So this is actually bonus material. This is good stuff here.
This is
okay.
Great. I love this. This is what we should do.
Last
Fuck
thing.
Talking about wrestling.
Last
Tinder
thing
talk.
Was, do you want to go to the Andy Warhol opening reception on Friday on February the 4th?
You sent that or she sent that?
I did.
Okay.
She had mentioned it in the conversation that there was going to be an opening and they were going to have like all that stuff. So I took something out of the conversation and I inserted it into the date because that's what you do. You find something that you guys actually have in common, then turn that into a date. Hmm.
Do you have her number or do you just have her Tinder?
I just got her Tinder.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hate to be that guy. I probably look like a total idiot. I'd probably just go out and be like, yo, bitch. Like, is this real? #FlavorTown.
What the fuck?
Thankfully, you disclaimed that you were going to be an idiot when you said that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that sounded pretty idiotic.
No. Yo. It's like, I'm just going to be like straight up.
I think you got to just say something again, though. But like, seriously, you have to say something again. And whether that's like asking her out on another date or just being like, yo, hey, what's going on?
How much time did she spend on her phone at the date?
Actually, none.
Okay.
We basically sat there and talked to each other like this the whole time.
Well, that's good, at least. That at least indicates that, like, she wasn't bored and she just...
Oh, I don't think she was bored.
Just ghosting you.
If she was ghosting me, she never would have showed up.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, if it was just like that, she would just be nice and went to and just honored the commitment, and then afterwards, like, well, that's never happened again. But if you guys closed down the sushi bar and you guys were, you know, talking one-on-one and you guys weren't like, oh, so I'm on my phone.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, I've been in an awkward first date. This was not an awkward first date.
Like, everything on paper sounds like there should be a second date. I mean, what do I know? It's not like
But I mean, you never know, dude. Like, yeah, she could have looked at the message and been like, oh my gosh, I'm like flustered, like a second date, like I don't know. And like talked to her friends then or something and then forgot about it.
Is that
it,
a good impression, by the
or,
way?
Or maybe it's still a week away from Saturday. Maybe she's trying to figure out like what the best, you know, like, oh, like, am I sure I want to go on a second date? Maybe she has commitment issues. Maybe she doesn't, like, want a relationship. I don't know, dude. Like, there's a ton of factors that can play into it.
She might just honestly be busy.
She might be busy.
That's what I'm thinking, too. You know,
she might be busy.
She's a pretty busy gal.
That could be the simple solution. It's just she's busy and she then hasn't had a chance to get back to you.
I'm just worrying about nothing.
Dude, just don't even do anything.
Yeah.
Just flatline it.
Play it cool.
Flatline it.
Like,
until next Saturday, then.
Yeah, Chris Candy.
That bad recommendation I made, then you send that. Next Saturday.
Hashtag Flavortown. That's my favorite part about entire thing.
All right, cool. Well, I'll keep you guys informed. You know, I don't think I'm going to do anything stupid or anything like that. You know, I got to go do an AWF show on Saturday, so I'll be passing through, but I'm not going to be like, oh, hey, I'm passing through town. You want to get coffee?
Don't do that.
Hey, I'm going to go to your house.
I don't even know where she lives.
I don't know.
Like,
where did you guys meet up?
She doesn't know that.
We just met at the sushi joint.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sushi kebab?
No, it's Ichi Tokyo.
Sushi R Us?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Hey, so I'm at the sushi bar, and, you know, good times, good memories.
Is that here in La Crosse?
No, Rochester.
Holy fuck, dude, it's far away.
Yeah, man.
Did you say that?
What's that?
Did you say that earlier? It was in Rochester?
No.
You just said that the first time right now?
Yeah.
Oh, so she's not even a local gal.
She's a Rochester gal, which is technically a local gal.
Huh.
It's an hour away.
Are you ready for a long distance relationship?
At this point in time, I just
never see each other.
Honestly,
Skype
at this point
every
in time,
day.
I think I'm actually interested in anything that wasn't the last relationship.
All right, we don't want to start talking about that.
Oh yeah.
All right, so that's it for this week on
Date
Talk,
bonus content.
Yep. Yeah, Ghost Talk,
Ghost Flavortown Talk.
Flavortown Talk.
That's a good name.
I like it.
Let's go with that one.
We'll see you guys next week. We'll be on the road officially to WrestleMania because it kicks off on Sunday. Looking forward to it. Thanks for stopping by. And as always, go out and support some indie wrestling, guys. Stay classy.
Should we change our oil before we go on the road to WrestleMania?
Yeah, because it's a pretty long drive.
Yeah. Check our air pressure in our tires, too.
We should do that, too.
Yeah. Probably check your window washer fluid, maybe.
Yeah. That, too.
I mean, maybe even if you get, like, one of those quick drip gas cards, those credit cards, you can maybe save a few bucks at the pump. Not a bad idea, either.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. Write it off any taxes.
It works out. Yeah, it works out in the long run. So, try it out.
Cool.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one.
something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know.
Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragner, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.